Today we're looking at worship, worship and praise. And this is very much, it's a rough guide. This is a series of keys or just subjects that I found key in my life, just trying to walk with the Lord. So we've looked at, you know, the word, the cross, the blood, Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is worship. It's obviously a massive, massive issue. And I don't think there's anything the enemy likes more, probably apart from the whole area of the Holy Spirit, to see Christians arguing about than worship. There's an awful irony in that. That in the time worship coming together before God and what God has given, that we have arguments over what colour drumsticks are used, or whatever, 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 whatever. Because, of course, there's such a personal aspect to this. So this is my personal perspective. As a pastor, I'm called to encourage and exhort. And I know I can be a pain in the neck, because my exhortations can be strong. But my encouragement is strong as well. You're an amazing fellowship. There is really so much that's going on here. It was reflected last week in those testimonies of people, yeah? How individually, wasn't it great to hear individually, they were saying how they'd been helped and blessed by the love shown by these. So, well done, guys. Well done, guys. That love that you are showing has an effect. That decision to meet with someone who you don't know has an effect. That decision to say something positive about someone instead of a negative thing has an effect. All of those things, all of those decisions have effects. And the accumulation of all that is a place where people feel comfortable and people feel blessed, and the Lord is able to move. So well done. And I want to encourage you in worship. This is a place, and this is not a reason for pride. That's a left turn we don't want to take. But that's got some reputation as a place where they're serious about worship. And that's really good. Don't follow it as an idol, but it's really good. And the musicians work hard here. The musicians meet together to pray, they meet together to practice, they meet together as worship leaders. They have regular meetings to learn more. They work hard. Guys, they work hard. And we are very blessed to have the guys that we've got here. And over the years, you know, we've had a succession of really good worship leaders who've come through here and gone on to bless other places. And we bless them in those other places. God is good. But there's more. And there's always more in our Christian life. There's always more to press into. There's always more that God has got. And the simple logic there is, if there's not, then presumably you've arrived. So is that what it looks like? So I want to exhort this morning. I want to encourage us. I want us to press on in. So that's the sort of framework around this thing. Obviously, it's quite hard to find some specific... it's the opposite. It's not hard to find some specific verses on worship. The challenge is actually just, you know, getting it down to just a few. So I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with Psalm 100. So this will be the reading for today. Bless your word, Father. Holy Spirit, come and bless the word as it is spoken out among us. Oops. And as it gets onto the screen. Okay, here we go. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I hope it's not going to be one of those days. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Should we just get the musicians back up here now? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. Thank you, Father God. Okay. There's a whole lot of teaching in there. I'm going to try and just pull it back and sort of spread it through the rest of the thing. But a few definitions, just to help you with this. Quite a tricky one to start off with. Okay, you got that? Good to go with that? Thanksgiving to give thanks. Took me all night to work that one out. Had to go to the Hebrew and the Greek and the Cardiff. The thing is, it's about expressing. How annoyed are you when you do something for someone and they don't acknowledge it? How are you? You ever annoyed at you let a driver in and they don't say thank you? I mean, admittedly, ramming them in the rear is a bad response, but don't you get annoyed when people don't give thanks? So the Father pulls out this stuff. I think it's just reasonable of us to say thank you, Lord, for thanksgiving to be part of our lives. And thanksgiving is a powerful thing. It's an antidote to the poison of grumbling. So thanksgiving is a good thing. Praise. I like this. I am quite a loud person. I know. This preaching is so full of revelations this morning, isn't it? You're like, wow. Did not see that coming. I make a lot of noise just being myself around the house and stuff. Jan taped it once. It was very scary. I know. Pray for Jan. I'm a monster to live with. So I am quite loud, and I'm not trying to make this a study in worship for extroverts. Okay, I like to sing, I like to shout. So you'd think, yeah, I'm going to find this definition. But that's the sense in it. This hallel is a lifting up. It's a proclaiming. Often in the scriptures, this verse started with it. Shout for joy. There's something about shouting out. There's a particular challenge to blokes, I think. I know that's sexist. Follow me. I don't actually like being loud in worship. In fact, I don't really like being loud. I don't like expressing myself. I will put a TV screen up there and show a sports match. And we will hear noise. Because it's all about passion. It's all about what gets you going inside. And some people can watch a rugby match and make any noise. They're dead. I'm sorry. They're quiet. I know. But there is something in this, and there's a power in this. There's a power in lifting up the name of God and this shouting. This is why the scriptures say it. And it's not just trying to start a riot here. Because there is something in this. I've been in meetings where you could almost sense in the praise that there was something just holding it back. There's not been any confusion here. It's hard for our flesh to worship anyway. Worship does not come naturally in one sense. To continually put the Lord and to lift up his name. But also the enemy doesn't like it. And I've been in meetings where it's like, all right. And it's taken a shout. And that's cringy. But a shout has broken through. And I really don't accept that it's just about just the psychological thing about emotional release and blah, blah, blah. I really do believe there's something that happens as we shout out the praises of our God. We proclaim it to ourselves. We proclaim it in this area. We proclaim it into the heavenlies and we proclaim it to the enemy. Praise is powerful. So when you lift up the name of the Lord, you lift up his name. Say, praise Yahweh. God, you are good. Worship, to me, is recognizing how worthy, how wonderful, how lovely the Lord is. And then there's, to me, more of a silence, more of an adoration, more of a bowing down. So there's the balance. It's not all about shouting. It's not all about quietness. To me, it's about the mix. One thing I like about this psalm in particular is this bit: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it's almost like that there's a sort of journey going on there. And for me, praise often is that sense of you start with just saying, thank you, Lord. And you can feel rough as we just say, thank you for breath, oh God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving me. You just start from wherever. And then you move into praise. It's like, for me, there's a thawing out going. And then you get into that place of worshipping him. And do you know, to me, although words are important, lifting up the name of the Lord, using scripture is all important. Silence in the Lord's presence is incredible. If you've ever been in that place where there's such a sense of his presence, all you can do is be silent and wait. And I would encourage us to be wanting to press into that place. To not see these times as just singing for the sake of it. Tunes that we like or don't like or whatever, whatever. It's all personal. We're never all going to agree on it. But if we can agree together that what we're about is wanting to get into the presence of God, where almost words become superfluous, where the Spirit is free just to do what's on his heart. Our worship's a powerful thing, guys. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Oh, it's such a gift. Okay. We're doing that's fine. I want to look at two areas. Basically, the sort of the private and then the public. Okay, the two areas for praise and worship. I'm just going to use a couple of verses. So in the context of a private, if you like, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. You were bought at the price of the life of Christ. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is within each of us. Here's the thing. Right throughout the Bible, people have worshipped God. When you read of all the stories of all the heroes, they've all worshipped God in different ways and bowed before him and proclaimed him and sacrificed to him. And there came a time where the temple was built. You know, before that, there was the tabernacle and the tent in the desert and a place where the presence of God would be in the Holy of Holies. And they would go there. And they would follow that tent around. And when they built the temple, they would go to the temple. And twice a year, they would go up to Jerusalem. And they would be in the place where God was. And the high priest would go in. And under that covenant, you went there. And the high priest went into that place on behalf of all the people. You went there. But in the new covenant, he comes to you. So in the old covenant, you went there. God was with his people. But in terms of the worship, in terms of the center of worship in the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit wasn't within the people. But after the cross and the resurrection and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you are all temples of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit all the time. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you don't get anything else from today, please, just take that away, I think. We used to go there. He comes to us. This is not about, gathering together is not about having to come to meet with God. He is within you. You are individually temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. The eternal Spirit. Thank you, Father. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And what a counter this verse is, to what we risk making a culture of worship in a consumer society. What it's about the latest songs and the latest presentation and all that sort of stuff. And what this is saying is that your bodies, your whole life is a life of worship. Everything you do is an act of worship. If we walked in that, that would be mightily radical. There's always part of us that wants to return to the temple model. That God is in a place, so I'm sort of in control. I can just pop along there and see him and that's all right. But God is wanting to break out. And God is wanting to break out in his people and through his people. And so your life, the calling on you is to live a life of worship. In your relationships, putting God first, recognizing God, thanksgiving to God. In your times together, as you receive stuff, and the times on your own. Don't get religious about it. You don't have to be playing praise tapes all the time. Cuban jazz is brilliant. As are a whole load of other types of music. I was very impressed with Ian. Bless him. I had a friend, you'll know him, he only had two non-worship CDs. It just blew my mind. I can't get my head around that. But he was playing worship all the time. And when you met with him and the love of Christ came out, you're like, oh, yeah, don't know what, you're onto something, bro. Anyway, I love music, all different types of music. I can worship God in different types of music. I'm not saying go. But that your life, that your bodies be offered. I know, it's a whole teach. Move on. Calm down. Okay, corporate. Now, corporate, coming together. Because we just want to be together. Yeah, you probably weren't born with that, Kim. It's probably been the oldest person in the church. Nearly, yeah. Steady now. What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction or revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Okay, this is powerful. I know this is powerful. It's in the context of the gifts. Gathering together and the gifts flowing. Now, we do have the gifts moving among us. Again, encourage and exhort. More. But God is good. It's coming. But this is a powerful... I think if we could get hold of this, it would perhaps release the pressure on the worship leaders to produce a fantastic show or a fantastic worship thing that we come in feeling, and then we get so blessed and we go up feeling, yeah, they did their job. Whereas actually what this is saying is when we gather together, we each bring. And I know it's a huge challenge. As a pastor, I am paid to pray before the service. You'd think I'd be doing that. And I am, honestly. But I know there's seasons in life. You've got a young family. Kids don't understand that you've got to take time out to pray before a service. That's fine. I'm not imposing this. I'm just saying as a heart thing, coming together, gathering together, maybe a cool thing is to say, Lord, what am I bringing today? And maybe you're just thinking, do you know what, Lord, all I'm bringing is that I'm absolutely fed up and I'm crawling to Sunday, and that's fine. But maybe you're saying, Lord, oh, I just had a great week, Lord. I'm looking forward to praising you. I don't care if they don't play my favorite song. I don't care if the drummer's a bit loud. I don't care if I can't hear ABC. I'm going to worship you, Lord. And do you know what, Lord? What I'd love you to do is give me something for someone else. Give me something like a bless someone else. Give me a word of encouragement. This is the corporate context of coming together. And it is scary to me. And I've been to a couple of conferences and I see stuff on the telly and stuff and these big dudes, and it's fantastic, the presence of God. But you've got to be so careful not to idolize that. And not to see if you get all that sorted, God will say, oh, I've got to go now. You know, they just bought a new PA, I'm going to have to go there. It's individuals coming together. That's corporate worship. It's individuals coming together, bringing what's on their hearts. Do you know what really blesses me in worshiping? When I'm feeling rough and I cannot get into that place, and I can just turn to someone and say, do you know what? I just can't do it. Can you just pray for me? Please, please be free in that. Please be able to turn to each other and say, can you just pray for me? I'm called. My heart's called this morning in worship. I want to lift up the name of the Lord, but please be real. Please be honest and open with each other. The enemy wants to separate us off. We come in individuals, we go individuals. The Spirit wants to move among us. The Spirit says, each one of you has. The Spirit says, I've given all. Anyone who wants, I give. The Spirit distributes. The Spirit is generous. And the Spirit fills every temple in here. I know there's a challenge in that. But we want to move on, yeah? We want to move on. We don't want to be Christians that just take all the time. And then there's this beautiful verse. Psalm 144. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, that's a live together. We'll start from where we can. That's a huge challenge. Yeah, let's get a kibbutz, is it? Woody kibbutz. Doors trampled. Right, what we're saying is, let's start from where we are. Let's get our worship in unity. Let's get our home groups in unity, our triplets, our families. Let's have unity in that place under God. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar. What's all that about? That's about generosity. That's about fullness. That's about extravagance. It's as if the Jew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Here's the thing, guys. Here is the thing. The unity, the presence of the Spirit, the blessing. And that's to me part of the heart of when we come together in corporate worship. Is that unity coming together and worshiping the Lord together from wherever we are, loud and soft and coming from a hard place and a good place and all that sort of stuff. But there's a terrific power in that. Not just about the singing. Warfare. I've really sort of covered this in a sense, because there's a proclamation in praise. And the proclamation, as I said, is to ourselves. Yeah? And that's why it's good to read scripture. That's why it's good to pray aloud and give thanksgiving aloud. It's almost like you hear that as well. Yourself. Self-medicating to be a wrong expression there. You know, you're feeding yourself, yeah? There's edification going on because you're speaking this stuff out. You also meditate on the word, you know, within your heart in silence. Don't be restricted. But there's something about praise and lifting up powerful praise that breaks what the enemy is trying to do. And I'll be honest, guys, that is a geographical thing, I believe. And that's why there's a responsibility on us as individuals to praise, to worship, you know, the first calling, if you like, to lift up the name of God, to worship. But there's also, I believe, a responsibility on churches to have worship and praise, lifting up the name of Christ, the name of our Lord, lifting up and declaring his works into the heavenlies. And I believe it's an essential part. We've got a vision here over a few years to be known in this community and to bring transformation into this community and to serve this community. And part of that service is lifting up the name of God when we come together. And part of that service is praying for the community and prayer walking and being out there. It's all part of the same thing. There's more on warfare, but I'm going to come back to the... This is the final slide. So just some points to sum up, really. Well, let me tell you just about warfare thing. I told you the story before, but it's such an encouragement. When we were doing youth work a very, very long time ago, and we had some really, really... it was amazing. We had some punks and stuff, and we had some sort of punk types. And there was one guy who was very, very bright and very, very cynical about anything Christian. I mean, oh, he was so funny. He had acid wit, you know? You'd say something and he would just destroy it. And you think, you know, I admire you as an enemy. That is good, man. How'd you do that at 15? Man, that's awesome. But he was absolutely against Christianity, religion, blah, 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 everything. And somehow, we did the youth club in part of the church. Somehow one Sunday he agreed to come to church. And... We were singing hymns, and we sang that great Wesley hymn about something other. What was it? Love Divine, yeah. And at the end of it, I was just singing away, yeah, Love Divine, yeah, great. More of a tune to it than that, but I turned to him, and he was like, he was ashen. He was like, I was white. I said, what happened? He said, what was that? I said, what? He said, that... When people were singing that hymn, it was like the sound of it. But what was that? What was happening? Ha ha ha. That's God, my friend. That's God in the worship. He went on to be a pastor. He became a pastor. Hopefully not quite as, you know. But it's powerful. It breaks stuff. It breaks stuff. Right. Diddly 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 diddly. Right. Okay, final thoughts. People get so tied up with this. Isn't God a bit of an egotist that he needs all this? He doesn't need the worship. It's a privilege. He invites us to join. The angels who see him in his fullness, all they could do is just worship and obey him. And he says, yeah, but I want other people blessed with this. I want children to be blessed with this, my children. And do you know what? Gabriel says, know what? He said, I'm going to get to the point where I'm actually going to put the Holy Spirit in each of them individually. Like mini temples, that's awesome, amazing. That conversation actually happened. And you are the recipients of that. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Ah, okay, move on. But it's a privilege. He invites you into his presence. It's a privilege. It's an invitation. Come, Holy Spirit. I know this is seeming a long way for some of you right now. I pray for grace. Father, I pray for grace right now. Just cover us in your grace, oh God. He calls us into a lifestyle of worship. Present your bodies. It's a lifestyle of worship which will overflow. I've covered this already, but if you're living like that and you're worshiping God, it will overflow. Opportunities will come along. And you won't have to say, give me half an hour to go and get ready to pray for you. You'll just be able to flow into it. Have you been in that situation where something arises, you're not ready, and it goes. And you go back to God and say, oh, I'm sorry about that, Lord. So I'll give you another chance. Be ready. Keep your eyes on me. Another name for worship, in a sense. Psalm 133, we proclaim the truth together, lift up his name. He will bless the unity and praise with his presence. Powers opposed to his rule are weakened and lives set free. I really believe, guys, I'll finish with this. I really believe as we seek to make a difference in this area, to really make a difference, through getting to know people, through serving. All the stuff we've talked about in the past. I was at a meeting the other day with some local people. I was sharing something that we'd like to work in partnership with them. And we talked for about 3/4 of an hour. And I said, okay, let's set up another meeting, and I'll bring along the people that I think can make this happen, and yeah, we can do that. And this person said, so they're going to come from your church. Yeah, yeah, okay. So what goes on in your church? Like, do you have formal services? Yeah, 10:30 on Sunday. So what happens there? Would it be all right if I came along one Sunday, see what happens? Of course, I said no. Come on, we can't have anybody just coming in, you guys. We just about got it sorted. Oh, so much. That would be so cool. So, hopefully a few weeks' time. We are going to see people coming in here more and more. We are going to see people drawn in here more and more. Yesterday, through a series of unfortunate events, which I won't go into, I came down to the church to find a young gentleman asleep at the front here with an empty bottle of cider by him. Yeah. That's interesting, I thought. We started to talk. He was absolutely... Oh, man. Am I allowed to say bladdered? No, probably not. He was absolutely gazeboed. He was gazeboed. He was very, very drunk. The more people of you are thinking what he's talking about, he was very drunk. It was very difficult to communicate with him. It was this sort of conversation. Oh, yeah, yeah, mate, yeah, that's great, yeah. Who are you? Honestly. So I thought all I can do is pray with him. So I prayed for him 3 times. And the first time, yeah, yeah, whatever. Whoa! Who's that? Well, yeah, 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 yeah. That's a very accurate impersonation. I'm quite proud of that. 3 times I prayed for him. Jan came later, and by the time we took him back to his place, because obviously we didn't want to leave him here, really, he was actually putting sentences together. And we had a cup of coffee, but it was only coffee. Be pretty magic, that. Now, I am a sort of person, the way I'm put together, I look for patterns, I look for signs, I look for things moving together. I see meaning in that. Even if it never happens again, I see a meaning in it. We had to deal with that. It went fine. I don't think he'll remember anything of what happened, but I gave him a Woody Weekly, and I hope that one day he says, I wonder what's that all about, and may come back. Guys, we're going to get people coming in here. And what would be amazing is they come into a place where people say, do you know what we do here? We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of the Lord. It's all about him. And as in unity and togetherness and flowing out of our individual lives, we worship and we bring praise to God. Things are going to be broken in this place. Powers and things that hold people and habits and things that have been holding people for ages and chains, they're going to be broken like that. Some of that's going to take time. Some of that's going to be in counseling and ministry. So some of that's going to be bang, bang. We are going to see this. People, please, see this. See this place. See this place when we come together and we have corporate praise and worship. It's powerful stuff. I really believe God wants to do that. Wants to do that through us. We're still building towards it. Can the band come back up? Go into this. A time of worship. I really believe God wants to do stuff among us. Do you believe that?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Thank you. Because, honestly, it's true. It's true. When the power of the Holy Spirit is just able to move, we're going to not know what's going on, and we're going to have to give control to God and all that stuff. But God wants to move, and he wants to set people free.